And I can say, we just experienced that with Becky's new car. Mm-hmm. We had an office, a living room, and a balcony scene. And we, you know, they were small spaces, but we didn't have a big cast anyway. And I think it played pretty well. I think, you know, the trust your audience to be smart enough to realize where the lines are.
Yes.
So that's the important thing.
Well, and we've often said that they're the best set designers are sitting right there in your... sitting there in the audience, their imaginations will fill in the gaps. As long as you got the acting down, they'll fill in the gaps for everything else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Hello again, and welcome to the art and business of... Oh, I'm sorry. Was that... Yes, yeah, your line. I took your line, Dave. Yeah. I took your line. I apologize.
That was
apologize.
Good. That was pretty good, though.
I was waiting for it to go on.
Oh, no. I just realized that was your line. So you go ahead. Let's start over.
Tell the line cue card guy. Anyway. Tell the cue card guy. Reset.
Reset.
I'm reading as fast as I can.
Hello again, and welcome to the Art and Business of Community Theater, presented by the Monroe Community Players and featuring the Green Room Groupies. Each episode, of course, we discuss issues relevant to the operation of a sick... maybe you should say it, Brian.
Hello again. Go ahead.
A successful theater and how to produce the highest quality shows for your audience. Sometimes, as you know, we slip into other topics and, you understand how Green Room conversations go. I'm David War, the de facto leader of our little band, and looking around the green room today, I see a full house. How exciting. Which includes...
Brian Burchett Ross.
Robert Yeoman.
Carol Slipka.
Uncle Jesse.
What? Well, I was going to say...
It's a full house reference.
Yes.
Thank you, Ron Roberts.
Oh, I thought it was
Kathleen
a poker
McBee.
Welcome. Now I'm thrown off with the Full House reference and the fact that I got it.
I didn't.
This is the worst part. Hey, so we got a good episode for you today, as we always do, right?
Yeah, sure.
For the most part. we had a little discussion in our own theater group, actually, not too long ago, maybe yesterday even, concerning what shows are appropriate to do in our venue versus what shows are appropriate to do on the road or to do in another venue. Plus, we have the Act Fest cycle has begun, and Monroe Community Players, I'm proud to say, will be participating in that. We're working on a show now, cutting, hopefully, so when the registration begins that we can be ready to go. This year in Michigan, I think it can be announced that Bay City Players will be hosting the state festival, and we will also have a regional festival in Owosso. So it's a very good opportunity for those of us in Michigan, because we have both festivals, right? Two festivals in the state. I probably should figure out where the national is, because, you know, I'm presuming that we'll win.
and
we probably better be ready. Better be ready to go to Tacoma, Washington, or something. So we have to be careful.
Ooh.
I don't think that's where it's at. For those, I think maybe Texas, maybe Nashville. I don't know. For those of you who haven't caught up on all our episodes, though, Act Fest is the biannual. It was biannual, correct? For every 2 years. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Kathleen.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. See? Already.
What?
Yeah. I'm just going to say, if I was sitting in that chair, he'd be looking across the hall.
I know.
I think every 2 years, it's a festival by the American Association of Community Theaters, sponsored by your state associations generally. And there's even international, the military have their own section, for example, as well.
I'm very excited to share that I have just discovered the location of ACFest 2025.
Yes.
Hold on to your hats. It's Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
That is nice.
That is good.
They have a swimming pool, I hear.
And
and we're off.
Yeah.
Discuss.
However, that's centrally located for most people around the country. It's flat. The corn will probably be about as high as an elephant's eye that time of year. Lots of good things going on. I was not as big as Oklahoma in the theater world, but you know, someone should write a musical for them too. Well, we did do Leaving Iowa, which is a wonderful comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, has Leaving Iowa. But no, we have friends in Iowa.
Well, you've got about a year to write Entering Iowa.
Entering Iowa.
Entering Iowa.
Yeah,
there we go.
But we look forward, hopefully, to seeing our friends in Iowa with the national competition. But we'll be busy preparing our production on stage. So you got to go into these things with a positive attitude. But anyway, so we were discussing more close to home. We were really discussing whether in our smaller venue if we could do a full-scale musical yet. And we had decided probably not, that a musical, especially a big musical, depending on what you want to do, you might want to have a bigger venue for it, which is, you know, sometimes that's true, sometimes it may not be. And actually, the review I have today, interestingly enough, they had to change venues mid-run of their show. So I thought this might be a good time, you know, gosh, I think the stars are aligning here. Let's talk about venues for a little bit, which I don't think we've actually ever really covered as a concept. And I think there's probably don't have a good intro for us working into the conversation, but I think there's probably a stream of thought out there that if you don't have the perfect venue, you can't put on the perfect show. Mm. But I think I would push back on that, because in theory, all you need to do good theater is a performing space, some actors, and an audience. So there we have it. Discuss.
Lights.
Cameras.
Sound.
Action.
Yeah. I mean, there's some other things besides that, but yeah.
You'd probably prefer seating.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out.
I don't mind.
Right. Well, but you know, there's street theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where people do that just right on the street. But what do you think if your group has only done stuff in your theater? You know, what about taking it on the road? Now we've taken stuff on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for example, I'm talking about Center Stage Jackson. They use venues throughout the city of Jackson, Michigan. In fact, they were good enough to actually list it in their program. And I'm looking at no less than, of course, I don't see it now. That didn't work out well, did it?
Well, while you're looking for that, you mentioned street theater. About 2 years ago, on one of our trips, my husband and I, to New York, we were down in the Village, right there on on Christopher. Well, I'm not done. Right there on Christopher Street, where you know, where the big Stonewall is, and they had this street theater group going down the street, and they would stop every half a block, and they would do this performance. And all of a sudden, we look up, and there were actors in the windows and hanging out of the windows, and they were doing this shtick, and it was all very 1800s garb and all that. And there were people they got people following them all the way down. We didn't, but I wanted to. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different story. But they had people walking, following them all down the street, and they must have had actors waiting at certain windows, and it was fascinating to watch. So street theater, I highly recommend it.
And I'm sorry, going back to my list, I see that from their list, they've utilized over the past couple of years no less than 8 locations, including a community college, middle schools, vineyards, couple churches, libraries, old movie houses, community arts center, and banquet centers. So don't count me off. I didn't list them all individually.
No. I'm thinking about where we've been.
Yeah, well, in Mineral Community Players, we've done restaurants. We've done banquet halls. We've done colleges. We've done high schools, junior highs.
Hotel rooms.
Hotel banquet
hotels,
rooms.
Hotel banquet rooms.
Outside.
Mm-hmm. We've done outside, open air. Yeah. And, of course, our own small black box theater as well, mm-hmm. Which seats about 80. So we've certainly seen productions everywhere. Kathleen, this summer you had seen Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah. Yep, up in Livonia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I looked right at Kathleen, Ron.
Whoa. I just moved the microphone so she could talk. I'm going to look this
Oh, my time. Goodness.
There's a little jealousy in the room today. We just have to deal with that. We're just so thrilled to have Kathleen back.
Yeah, we are. Mm. Look at me, Papa. Just look at me. Look at me, Papa.
I'm not good enough for you, Ma. You're killing me. Anyways,
So what do you think makes a show appropriate for one venue versus another?
Well, I think, if you don't mind me starting, I think for the most part, I agree with you. You can do any show in pretty much any venue. The question is, should you? Mm. I think more. For instance, our discussion that we had at our last meeting, there was a discussion to have a big musical like Wizard of Oz or Charlie and Chocolate Factory. And, those musicals, we could do it if we really tried. Mm. It would be a huge challenge. Mm. Should we do it in a black box theater? My response to that is no, because some musicals like Wizard of Oz, like Oklahoma, like those big ones, they deserve the big stage. Mm-hmm. The audience deserves the spectacle of those kind of shows. So to me, doing a big musical is not something that.
Where'd you go?
I'm here.
There you go.
A big musical is not something I think you should do in a small venue like a black box. Mm-hmm. A smaller musical, maybe. A cabaret or a...
Sounds very new.
A cabaret-style right. musical, not the musical cabaret, correct?
Well, why couldn't you do cabaret?
You think we can do cabaret?
I think we could do it. I think you could put... in fact, we could move the chairs out and put tables.
Is it the Pussycat Club? I can't remember.
We could do that.
My sons did cabaret when he was in college in a small black box. And the chorus was only four ladies. So you didn't have to have that huge chorus to still have the impact intimate. Of that show. And then they played all the little extras and...
And I guess I'm going to go back to my college days. I think it was Ron McEwen who said the media is the message, which I think, or the medium is the message, probably is a better way to put it, which basically was just saying, how you present the story, how you present the essay is as much the message as the words themselves. I think that may be the same with the theater. If you're going to do a big stage musical like The Producers and try to fit it onto a tiny stage, you've already diluted the producers, the show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying with Chorus Line. Chorus Line builds to this huge ending. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, Chorus Line on the surface, it's a one set stage with one group of people that stay on the stage, I believe, the whole time.
Pretty much.
It is not a big musical in that sense mm-hmm. until you get to that end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Boom, yeah.
But now, because you've already made the confines of the small theater, have you changed the ending of a Chorus Line because you can't do it the way should be done in that big Broadway style?
Exactly. It'd be cool if the whole back could become a mirror for the very last, and then all of a sudden it's doubled the number of people that looks like on the stage to give that impression. I mean, can you get creative and take something further?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
Well, going back to that whole concept of is it fair? Should you do a big mm-hmm. musical? So, I'm just sitting here trying to think. It seems every musical has one or two showstopper numbers. Right. Big voices, big energy, big whatever. Would that even play in a black box in a small theater? I mean, could you even pull that off? Mm. You'd either have to be ruining people's ears. Screaming it out, or you'd have to pull way back on the song, which is not the point of the song.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that would, if you could even do, and I can't think of any musicals that I think would work, like just thinking of our venue, I can't think of any musicals that would fit in that. Mm-hmm. Not that I've seen every musical there is, trust me, just a small portion, but the ones I'm familiar with, I can't picture anything working. Even, now I'm drawing a blank on the name. the 9/11 one, the cast
Come From Away.
There's basically no set involved with that, but and there's not that many people, but you couldn't do that.
Right. No,
you couldn't, and it's because of the songs.
And I need to insert a correction. By the way, my memory was very faulty. It was Marshall McLuhan who said the medium is the message.
Oh, now. Okay, now I remember.
Now it makes more sense, right? I was going to say
Ron McLuhan. I mean, I was a big fan of Ron.
I got the Mick part right.
And then just to clarify for our listeners, that if you have not been to our space, it's a black box, but I think we've all been to other black boxes where they've actually done major renovations to the ceiling and whatnot. I'm thinking of Open Book Theater, which is in Trenton, if I'm not mistaken. It's a former storefront, but they've actually taken the ceiling out and made it more of an actual theater type. Whereas we're in a retail space, which still has that drop retail ceiling. Yeah. So just keep that in mind while you're listening to us so that you understand that we're not lumping all black boxes into one top category. Ours happens to be a very specific type of black box.
Yes, and a very small one. However, you know, again, a small show works in a small space.
Well, sure.
And I'm thinking, too, the reality is, too, what's your backstage look like?
Right.
Well, yes.
Because if you're talking trying to cram a giant musical into a small space, if you only have two entrances, as we do, on each side of the stage, we can create more. But, you know, how much room do you have for a cast of 60? We did big shows like Christmas Carol. Successfully, but again, you know, there were 30 people crammed in the back of that space.
That's very tight. There's also, I think you got to be careful what even non-musicals you choose for a black box, or even if, like when we did, we used to do our shows out at the Holiday Inn at their banquet room, which I think their ceilings were even lower than what we have now. It seems like. Or maybe because we had a stage.
Maybe there was only a 7-foot ceiling, it seems to me. Because when we were on the stage there, my memory was maybe a foot above me.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were using flash paper, and we had to literally take the ceiling panels off in that area so when Tim lit the effect, it wouldn't set off the fire alarm system. Yeah.
And I'm going to have to back up. It must have been much higher than 7 feet, though, because I was on a 2-foot stage. So if there was a foot ahead of me, it was probably a 9-foot ceiling.
But
but once you were up on that stage.
Right. And I remember the first time, it's very disorienting to be 2 feet up from the audience, but suddenly have a ceiling that seems like it's...
That's always in your sight
line. Yeah, it's always in your sight line. You can always...
You have to be aware of where your lights are in relationship to that, because those things get hot and costumes can melt or turn into fire.
And so, you know, the shows we even did out there were shows, I think we did Don't Drink the Water out there.
Yep.
We did tuna shows, some of the tuna shows out there.
Our first tuna we did there.
We did. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. What we didn't do, I think Bedroom Farce.
I think Bedroom Farce may have been done there. We certainly did Natalie Needs a Nighty out there.
Natalie Needs a Nighty, that's right. That was my first time in drag. No.
Philadelphia Story was my first play with players we did there. Philadelphia Story is a fairly good-sized cast.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of murder, underappreciated murder mystery. But we also had, with that kind of setup, and so this is if you're trying to think dinner theater, can you take it someplace? The thing that helped us is that we did it as a dinner theater, but there was another room where we could go for the cast to go
between
scenes.
Yeah.
You know, so we weren't just dealing with the space behind the stage. We actually had an exit for us that we could go to another room.
Bullshot Crumman we did.
Bullshot Crumman we took to several locations, I believe.
Yes. Now, that was a traveling. That was a traveling show.
That was a true traveling show.
We took it. However, you know, so you've got to, when you're looking at whatever venue you're going to perform in, the big thing is the set and what you could not do, obviously, noises off at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
You could not do Death Trap at the Holiday Inn, because there's just the set needs to be bigger, because they're chasing, you know, each other, mm-hmm. and they're chasing, they're going around steps and out and disappearing through different.
I think Death Trap you could figure
Death
out.
Trap, I think you could also.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when I directed it, it was on a the stage was about as big as what we have for our black box, and I thought that was, we were really trying to maneuver.
I'd have to look at it again, because it's been a while since I read the play, but because I think it does call for, but like I say, the chase scenes. But it depends, because Death Trap isn't a comedy. With a comedy, you can get away with a little more. You can throw some of those chase scenes right into the audience on that. But there it was. That's why we didn't do Crimes of the Heart as a dinner theater, because there, for those, it's a spoiler alert. You may want to pause and move ahead 15 seconds if you don't know what Crimes of the Heart is about. But there's a scene with the cat. Basically, the woman commits suicide with her cat. And he thought that image was just too gruesome for dinner theater.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant image anytime.
I would have just been past the potatoes. But anyway.
Wait, is it because there's a cat involved? Or, I mean, just her committing suicide, I think, is too heavy for dinner theater.
With the cat. No, it was the cat.
Were they serving Chinese?
Yeah. Oh, Brian. We are going to get letters, I hope.
I hope. My God.
I feel 100% better now.
Okay, so talking about other venues, I always thought it would be interesting to see if we could pull something off at the amphitheater at St. Mary's Park.
Mm-hmm.
So a true outdoor stage. The problem is, how are you going to charge people for that when it's a public space?
And that's something you got to keep in mind, too. How are you controlling the audience?
Right. And controlling who's there. And I mean, obviously, it would have to be something very family friendly. Yeah.
And the wildlife, the spiders.
We may have to invite Dr. McCluskey back on the show, because back before any of us were involved, I believe they did do some Shakespeare in the park St. Mary's Park. And he has a story or two about that with the rain and how well they pulled it off. But I almost think they just basically passed the hat kind of thing. They didn't didn't actually try to charge for it.
And you had to do it during the day.
Yeah.
You know, because of lighting.
That's not too bad, though.
That time they took the lights
summer.
With them.
Oh, they did. Okay.
But and in summer. The summer.
But in summer, if you do it at 6 o'clock or 7 even, you're done. I went to a show up in Rochester a couple years ago. It was Freaky Friday, so it was a musical, and it was outdoors, and you had to bring your own seats. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no seating or anything, but the way it was set up, it wasn't a public venue, so you had to go through a gate and pay to get in and whatever. But it was really interesting having it that outdoor venue. I really liked it, mm-hmm. and so then I was thinking, well, could we do something like that here? But again, how do you make money off it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially at the band shell that we have at St. Mary's, is there any way to go? You'd have to create an off stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd almost think you'd have to create also some sort of fencing or something to try to control the access.
Without fencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm just wondering if any of our many thousands of listeners have ever done a performance out in a public park that was not restricted for access, and how they made it work.
That's something I'd like to know too, and hear how they did it too, because when you talk about open spaces, there's a lot of open spaces that are probably available.
My worry about that now, and maybe it's an age thing at this point, but I'd be more worried about hecklers now than I would if we were doing it 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. It's a societal shift as what's acceptable as far as criticizing on the fly.
I don't know. That's an interesting question, too.
It just something popped into my head. It's like, would we get more people yelling, hey, get off the stage?
You're hanging around with the wrong people.
My free bird.
That never even crossed my mind.
That's my problem, Carol. I don't hang around with anybody anymore. People scare me.
Yeah. But like when they have the concerts there, I don't think they have a problem with
it. Well, no. But concerts, you're talking, you know, you're talking cover bands of the Beatles or Bob Seger or right. Rod Stewart, where it's a music thing. If we were to present Shakespeare up there, and I'm not saying people would. I'm just saying I think there's more of a chance that you'd get that there with something like that. And maybe not. Maybe I just don't see society as good as it.
Well, if we do Shakespeare, we could just, you know, put a thing up saying no groundlings allowed, and then there wouldn't be the heckling and the throwing of fruit.
Everyone would understand that.
Well, okay. We gave all the fruit and such to the actors so they could fight back.
It turns into a big old food fight.
Yeah. I think one of the difficulties we would also have, because, you know, there's a difference between amphitheater and, frankly, what we have in this park is a band shell.
True. Yeah. I thought of that.
You know, it's not really a true amphitheater. It's it's a band shell. For example, when we went to see Hair.
Oh, yeah.
Bob, you and Cranbrook. I saw in Cranbrook. You know, again, their amphitheater clearly was designed to be used as a theater space. Yeah. And it had controlled access. Mm. But there are some that are, you know, don't have controlled access, and some that do, and I think that's an interesting. And part of me keeps wondering too, what is the allure of outdoor theater? Mm. People seem to like it, but I just don't know. I just don't know why.
I think it's a romanticized image that people have in their heads, thanks to the movies and PBS showing the broadcast premieres.
Yeah, and it's probably not really. It's probably not limited to theater too, because people like to go to outdoor concert venues.
Well, the thing is too that in the summer, when you live in Michigan, you treasure every nice moment. Day there That's is. Mm-hmm. And if you're working all day and you're inside all day, mm-hmm. then going to spend some time outdoors while still being entertained, I think, has a certain attraction.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people want to go outdoors.
Yeah, I knew Brian was going to say something.
Yeah, I outdoors has nothing, no.
Brian doesn't like the outdoors because there's bugs.
Exactly. And people. Bugs and people.
Yeah. Bugs and people.
And humidity.
I hate to sweat.
Yeah,
and the occasional thunderstorm.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you're doing something outside, how do you plan for
the weather?
But all joking aside, no, I do love a good concert at Pine Knob. Mm. I've seen some great concerts, and I've had a great time in the middle of the day with, you know, but, yeah.
Well, and again, as Bob pointed out, it's just something, you know, romantic in that kind of sense. You know, the stars are up there, the theater's going on. It's more casual.
Bottles of wine with you.
You really have no idea where the restrooms are.
Are there any?
Are there any restrooms?
You make your own.
You surprised.
You make do.
Everybody passed. Never mind. I'm not going
to. Next thing you know, it's Woodstock.
Oh, geez.
It's anarchy. Total anarchy.
Total anarchy.
I wonder, did insurance pay off on that?
On Woodstock?
On Woodstock.
I have no idea.
I don't even know if they have insurance.
No. He just opened up his field.
Right. I think we have a new topic for a podcast.
that I don't know.
Insurance matters.
Yeah. Insurance matters.
We have curtain problems.
Yeah, if you've not been to Woodstock, Bethel Woods, it's worth a trip. It's really, they have an amazing museum there and the space, whatever. It's really nice.
Oh,
just throw that in there.
I've never been.
I haven't either.
It's a mud pit. Beautiful. That's all right. You remember?
Well, once it starts raining and pouring, it's going to turn into a mud pit, definitely.
I think we drove there, got settled in a motel room, went to see the site, and went, I got some vodka in my back room. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, I kill the conversation. My job here has been accomplished.
We have. At the same time, there are shows that I think you shouldn't be afraid to do in a smaller venue, even if they're shows that have several different scenes in several different places. And I can say we just experienced that with Becky's new car. Mm-hmm. We had an office, a living room, and a balcony scene. And we, you know, they were small spaces, but we didn't have a big cast anyway. And I think it played pretty well. I think, you know, the trust your audience to be smart enough to realize where the lines are.
Yes.
So that's the important thing.
Well, and we've often said that they're the best set designers are sitting right there in your... Sitting there in the audience, their imaginations will fill in the gaps. As long as you got the acting down, they'll fill in the gaps for everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's my opinion, at least.
Yeah. So could we do, we couldn't do noises off in our black box.
Well, and noises off, of course, the issue with doing something like that on the road is because it is a, requires a two-story set.
And one that turns around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that that's a total...
Well, our venue right now requires simpler sets.
Exactly. I mean, so. Exactly. Because yeah. I would love to direct Death Trap again, but I'm not sure we could. But now you're making me think maybe we could.
I'd have to reread it.
Yeah. I know we need a wall full of a bunch of prop weapons.
My only question with Death Trap would always be, now that the secret is out, so to speak, would it still play? But then again, it's old enough now too. There's a couple generations that may don't know the twist.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And we won't give it away here.
No, we won't. But it's a good twist.
And kind of going back, another tangent, nice thing we did with something, if anyone out there is considering Noises Off still, which is a hilarious show,
God, it's a great
show. Really should consider if you have the space and the people who can build the set for you. We did not have a curtain when we did it. So turning the stage to do the backstage scene became an event in itself, because the audience watched us do it and they stuck around intermission because they were fascinated to see that set turn.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it was probably one of the more impressive moments that we've had as players in the past 70 years.
Yeah.
75 years?
How many 75 years?
75 years. It's a long time.
Depends on who you ask.
I've only been around for about a little over half of them. So.
Yeah. And what year did you do that?
I don't know. I don't have my list with me. It was at the River Raisin Center for the Arts.
Oh, it was
one of the first, one of the things, the history of the stage at the RRCA, for those of you who are listening now and you're trapped to hear this, it used to be a two-level stage. Oh. They had the stage that was there originally that was built because it used to be for speakers. It was an old movie theater that was converted. And they had a little stage that they might bring speakers in. Then they built another stage in front of it. But for some reason, when they built it in front of it, they built it 2 feet down from the other one instead of making a level. So when they eventually made it right by making it all one level, we said, okay, we can do Noises Off now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's what we had to do there. But so that's it requires a flat stage, which is a given in most spaces.
I think that's and I think that's with our particular stage, that is where a lot of our problems rise with having such a low ceiling. Mm-hmm. Is doing anything, even if you just need a balcony, not necessarily you know. Because I can't see us going any higher than what we did for that, for Walter's,
for the balcony of the balcony. Character. Yeah,
yeah.
That was what on those.
That was about what, 3 feet?
It wasn't 3 feet. It was probably two and a half.
2.5 feet.
That's like 3 steps.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean,
you know, that ceiling started to feel close to me. But you know, if you know, take someone like Bill McCluskey, who's probably a good half a head taller than me. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine you start putting some taller people up there. It's going to look real cramped real fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So that, interesting. But the venue, I'm just saying, again, with venues, it's something I don't think we come to a conclusion on, you know, how to determine what show win, but I think you just got to take all those factors into play.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You've got to think, okay, how many people in the cast? Am I going to have a back room, or am I going to have, you know, are we going to have somewhere that we can store actors? How many actors for the show? You know, there's a ton of different things.
I will say one thing, and Center Stage Jackson clearly had it. LED lighting makes your job of taking something on the road a lot easier because they don't heat up, and they're a lot lighter, and they just take up less space.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's something I think that everyone, if you can invest in the LED lighting, Mr. President. I think that's something that needs to be done on the priority list.
Okay, I'll put that right up.
Yeah, right along with the other 15 other priorities that we have right now.
There's a committee for that.
I will recommend one show that you could probably take anywhere at any time. We did it about a year and a half ago. About a year ago. Bench in the Sun. Yes. You need a bench and you need a garbage can.
And a tree stump.
And a tree stump.
Is actually important.
Yeah.
I saw one in the dumpster.
But, and that's it. You know, Waiting for Godot, that's one you could do for...
Waiting for Godot. You don't really need anything for Godot. In fact, when the college did it with Quagmire Productions, directed by Steve Ryder, I'm trying to think. I don't think we had a single thing on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Not a bench or anything, huh?
Yeah. You guys lay flat on your backs.
Well,
at intermission.
And I'll never forgive Steve for that. You heard it, Steve. I needed one of those kind of contraptions you wear at the stadium so you can. So when your bladder got full, you could just release into another bladder. But he started it with us basically lying flat on the stage before the lights came up, and then we lay flat on the stage again during the intermission. The two main characters, we never left that stage
from
the moment the first audience member came into the house to
and
when the last
entire
one
audience
left.
Is going when?
Yeah.
When are they gonna blow?
Wow.
Yeah, but it was I don't think I could do it now because I just don't think I could lie there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I can't lie in my own bed for 2 hours without getting up at least once. So it's a fun one. Hey, it was just a lot of food for thought. We gave you more. As usual, the conversation didn't go necessarily in the direction we expected, but certainly a lot of shows to consider when you to take on the road. You already know the venue you're using currently, and like I say, I'd urge you if you want to expand your group out of your own theater, do some goodwill out in the community. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of it.
I think you can take it.
And certainly, if we're looking into this next Act Fest cycle, or any cycle, any festival, don't be afraid of festival, but keep it simple, I think, is the method.
Absolutely.
I would like to, though, talk about, because we already brought it up, I did see the production at Center Stage Jackson called Women of a Certain Age, a comedy with a twist by Steve Dupre, D-U-P-R-E-Y. And I will have to tell you that for a group that had to change their venue mid-run of the show, and not mid-run of the show as if, okay, it's intermission, now we're going to move over here. But the first weekend was in one location, and then there were some issues, unfortunately, with that venue. So they had to move to another venue that they had not planned on being at. My understanding is originally it was conceived as a theater in the round. I would say it was more of a thrust-style theater, or even, frankly, wherever they ended up, it was a big, long room. So they set the stage up in the middle, and the audience sat on either side of the stage.
Oh.
So we were basically looking across the stage as if you were sitting both stage right and stage left from the wings. So that, I'm sure, they did a wonderful job with their blocking because, you know, now they couldn't play things forward or doing it in the round as they did. They kind of had to do things one side or the other. And I will give the cast and the director huge props for that, for having to move their show. I thought they did a great job with the blocking, rescheduling everything. The actresses, which included my cousin, who was not her first time, as I reported in the last episode. But
I was going to ask you if that was the same one.
But it was about the second show she's done since high school, and she's caught the bug now, and we already know what shows she's going to be trying out for later with Center Stage Jackson. And we know that's Karen Crouch. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
But I thought they did a great job. Having said that, I was not a fan of the script.
Oh.
Oh. What? No, wait. What show?
It's called Women of a Certain Age.
Oh.
How many men were in it?
None.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
This is a good... On the surface, it's...
Well, no. Hold on.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw these two. Oh, no. That's why he didn't like it. There were no men in it.
No.
It had nothing to do with that.
I'm just making... all kinds of baseless assumptions here.
Yes, you are.
But I'm just saying, if it is, I'm assuming that if it is a script that is just women and they're discussing women's things, it's probably something that you just didn't, maybe couldn't relate to as much.
That is not the case.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well,
so they were
in fact,
robbing
I bank. Wish they had discussed women's things more
oh,
often.
Oh, what did they discuss?
Did they discuss men things? Because now no. I'm interested.
Well, I don't mean wardrobe. Women's things like, you know, makeup and dresses.
No.
Okay.
What I think is when you have to put a comedy with a twist under the title, you better provide a twist.
Oh.
Interesting.
I did not see a twist. And what I think the author thought was a twist, to me, wasn't. Mm. Having said that, I hate to tell you what I think was a twist, because I don't want to give the whole thing away.
Sure. Right.
But it really just revolves around four women who belonged to a acapella singing group in college.
Uh-huh.
They're all getting together in a cabin in the woods. One of their friends had called them in an emergency, and she shows up with a baby.
Okay.
That she essentially has found the mother and befriended at a hospital. Mother wanted to give it up, and they kind of did this kind of interesting exchange. So the baby got with her, even though they did not do it through legal adoption means.
Oh,
so
Clark Kented the kid.
Yeah. So that was the premise of this, and then they talk about the decisions that they need to make to one, keep the baby. How are they all going to raise it? Are they going to raise it together? And they just—that may be the twist—is that they decide, you know, they want to say, "How can we do this? Or how can we raise it together?" So it kind of goes in this direction and has some very funny moments. But to me, there's this kind of a surreal dating game thing that happens in the middle of it, out of nowhere. Mm. You know, and it's not even set up, in my view, by the script. Properly to say, okay, now we have a dream sequence here.
Oh. Okay.
It's just like it just comes out of nowhere, and then it's resolved, and then it keeps moving on as if we just didn't see this dating game dream happen. And it's integral to the character's development of a decision that she has to make.
Huh. Could have been just a slip of the dialogue.
No.
It was purposely.
Yeah, no, I think so. And like I say, to me, the ending was, I kept hoping for a bigger twist, and I never found it.
So maybe society kind of moved on from what?
I think what they thought was the big twist, to me, may have been a big twist 10, 15 years ago,
okay.
But it's not today.
I was going to say it was dated.
Mm. Yeah, and what's interesting is I think this is a very new play.
Oh.
And I believe they were even working with the playwright in New York.
But I'm the Google guys here.
So 2022 is when it was.
Really?
Community Theater, Geneva Theater Guild, 2022. Community Theater, The Old Lady Project, City of Evanston.
It's won awards.
2023. Community Theater, Cumberland Players, 2023. And won an award on Excellence in Scriptwriting, Theater Association of New York State, 2022. And on the website, National New Play Network, New Play Exchange, Melissa Milich quoted, and I said, one of the best plays I have ever read on NPX.
Well, I that's disagree. Interpretation.
Huh. And on the off chance that Mr. Dupree is listening, sorry. Maybe I'm just jealous because your work is getting out there. But to me, this in the sense of, can your group do it? Absolutely. Mm. This is not beyond any group. It's like I say, they did a wonderful job with it, with the acting, the directing. I thought, especially given the fact that they had to change venues, the director did some very nice thing blocking wise. But to me, the script just didn't deliver.
Very, very simple set.
Yeah, it's just one cabin, a room in the cabin. I shouldn't say that. There's a scene that ostensibly takes place outdoors. Mm-hmm. And something I noticed with this script is something I've noticed, frankly, with other new scripts that we've been reading, has a lot of scenes. So it's
television
like,
effect.
I think it's a television effect or the movie effect. It's like, every few minutes, it's like, lights are going down, lights coming up, we see these two people calling. Lights go down, lights come up, 5 minutes later, we see these two people talking. Lights go down, lights come up, then we see this other two people talking. And it's like, there was
you have a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of time where the whole ensemble talked together, except basically to introduce at the beginning and then at the end when it's resolved. And like I said, they did some neat things, like they used the bathrooms that were there as part of their stage. And it was directed by Amy Smith. Amy did a nice job directing. And like I say, the whole cast, I thought they did a nice job performing. But like I say, sometimes I would say to me, they overcame the script because it was an enjoyable afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Talon Baldwin, Karen Crouch, Angie, and I'm going to murder her name, Guadagnini, Wendy Lake, and Melissa McHallone.
You are right, sir. I think you murdered that name.
So I think I murdered everybody's name there.
My question, was there any director's notes?
Of course. Were there directors? Yes, there were.
Yeah? Okay.
Here, there you go.
Here he is. Okay.
And like I say, they've Center Stage Jackson, those that don't know, is a group that formed by the merger of two other community theater groups, I think in the early 21st century, it may have been late 20th century, Clark Lake Players and Jackson Civic Theater. They were finding they just weren't doing as well separately, so they came together. Clark Lake had historically done shows in the summer, and Jackson Civic had done shows the rest of the season, so now they basically came together and they do similar. They just do shows all the time. And they've made good use of, like, say, the venues and everything around Jackson County. A nice job, interesting venue for what they had to do with the move. But to me, the script just, you know, sometimes you got to say what you got to say. And that script just didn't grab me. But it is something that, and the premise sounded interesting. The title, Women of a Certain Age, mm-hmm. you know, that it seemed to have all the right pieces. Mm-hmm. I just think it didn't quite carry through.
Dedicated with the fashion. So, what we went through and the clothes we wore.
Yeah, I remember that one. We saw that one at one of the Act Fests. Okay, I like that one.
Because it wasn't matching up with the discussion we had.
Mm. Yeah, and like I say, this one to me just seemed...
It's interesting, her note here, after she read the script. She's not a huge... she's not really someone that loves plays normally, but she was really grabbed by this one. And she soon realized that this story touched on topics that meant a lot to me. Adoption, love, loss, friendship, and what makes a family. I have my own adoption story, as do others in this show. So I'm honored to be helping to tell this moving story. Totally different perspective.
I'd say that may be why, because the adoption is clearly a big part of this story and how they come to adopt the kid. I just didn't...
Yeah.
To me, it's a warning sign when you have to put down a comedy with a twist.
Mm.
Don't tell me it's a comedy. And so I apologize, Center Stage Jackson, if that was your decision. But to me, it's like, if you have to tell the audience that there's a twist, it's not much of a twist.
Seems fair.
But yeah. It might be in the contract that it has to be with the title.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm.
Yeah. And like I say, he's had success with it. There are people that like it. It's speaking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And this is something to keep in mind for everybody. This is true of anyone who's given a critique or a review. That's just my impression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nobody else's. I'd be happy. I'm sure we'll discuss this play a little at our next family gathering. But like I say, I thought the performances were great. I thought the directing, like I say, I think especially the fact that I can't imagine having to move my show halfway through without planning on it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I mean, the blocking alone.
Charlie's Aunt.
And they had to go. Well, Charlie's Aunt was because we had to replace an actor.
And the scenery kept falling down on us.
Well, but we didn't have to change the venue. We knew where we were.
We were in the same room. The people were new.
Yeah, the people were new. In this case, the room changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the setting change. So that's where we're at.
Well, and you know, all art is subjective. That's what the beauty of art is. Someone sees, what someone doesn't. But I've got to ask you, so that it was no Steel Magnolias?
No.
No.
Not even close.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Minerva Community Players will be doing on May 17th, 18th, and 19th, 7, and 2 for any local people. Thank you very much. Back to you, Dave.
And even non-local people, if you this will drop before before that comes up.
Yes, so if you're in Illinois or Iowa or Wisconsin, yeah, come on down and visit us.
Who doesn't love Steel Magnolias?
Right. Road trip.
So good. So, and just looking at the time, it does appear that we've pretty much exhausted our time for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in once again. We'd like to thank you not only for listening, but of course for all the good work that you are doing to help keep your theaters alive and thriving. And I can't believe it. I say this, I've said this like 69 times now, and I kind of keep looking at this little script. That tells you how good I am on stage with memorizing my lines.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Kathleen's got a thing to say about that as well. Yeah, I beat you to the punch, Brian. We appreciate your feedback and conversation from you, so be sure to visit our Facebook page for more, I would say for more fun, but for occasional posts that happen to go up. Look for the Mural Community Players podcast. I did find our podcast today. Alexa finally figured it out. If you say play the art and business of community theater through Apple Podcast, Alexa will find it.
Oh.
If you just say play the art and business of community theater latest episode, good luck to see what Alexa will pull up. I don't know if Siri is the same way or if Google does the same thing, but I've gotten some weird stuff. maybe we needed a shorter title. I apologize, folks, but
I still turn my own channels on my television. I don't know what you're talking about.
but if you look for Mural Community Players podcast, hopefully you find us as well. Emails may be sent, of course, to mcppodcast@mineralcommunityplayers.org. And to keep up with the latest shows and activities of MCP, go to mineralcommunityplayers.org. We generally release 2 episodes a month. Please take a moment to subscribe, like, otherwise rate us, especially on Apple Podcast. It helps people to know that we are here and that you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, just stay away.
Just mind your own business.
Yeah, when mind your own business. You don't have to listen.
Nothing to hear here.
Yeah. This podcast isn't subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one ever says that. And you know, actually, I've listened to a couple of podcasts. If you like us, you know, do this. But if you don't like us, please.
You get the Mel Brooks version.
We understand there's 100 million podcasts and only 70 million listeners. So we do really, really, really appreciate all of you. I think that's a stat I made up.
You think?
The Art and Business of Community Theaters, presented by Mineral Community Players, recorded at the Mineral Public Access Podcast Studio, high atop the Benish Building Historic Mineral. In fact, I looked out the window, got a little dizzy. We're so high up in Monroe, Michigan. For the love of theater, we are the Groupies, and we will see you in the green room. Thank you, Carol.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven, because it hasn't.